Okay, well, here we go. You know what I'm going to say next, so let's go ahead and do it. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is, in fact, Exodus chapter 27 and verse 20, where it says, "And you shalt command a tetzaveh." So there's the first unique word. That's therefore the name of the parsha, the way it's normally described, parsha tetzaveh. "And you shall command the B'nai Israel," the children of Israel, "that they bring unto you pure olive oil beaten for the light, to cause the lamp," the menorah in this case, "to burn continually in the ohel of meeting," the tent of meeting, "without which the veil is before the testimony, and Aaron and his sons shall set it in order to burn from evening to morning before Yahuwah." And here's another one of those things that's always interesting to note when it says it, and it does here. "This shall be a statute forever throughout their generations on behalf of the B'nai Yisrael." And interesting, of course, it is a statute forever, but isn't being done, can't be done, because the place where it is done doesn't exist right now. Okay, that takes us to chapter 28, which says, "And bring you near unto thee Aaron your brother and his sons with him from among the B'nai Israel, that they may minister to me." So this is essentially Yah speaking and what he is telling Moshe. "May minister to me in the office of Cohen, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And you shall make set apart garments," coverings, literally, for them. And that root word there is bigdu. "For Aaron, your brother, for splendor and for beauty." So a couple of words here that are used for the very first time. Splendor, likbod. And that's the root word there is kabod, for glory, and for beauty, titzara. So all of these things are the covering that are going to go on the Kohen and his sons, the Kohenim, plural. And ultimately, of course, Aaron will be the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. "And you shall speak unto all that are wise-hearted." So here's this reference to the wise-hearted again. "Speak to them, whom I have filled with the spirit of chokmah, of wisdom, and tell them to make Aaron's garments to sanctify him, set him apart, that he may minister to me in this office of the Kohen." And here, he says, are the garments you're going to make. Number one, a breastplate, an ephod, and a robe, and a tunic of checkered work, and a mitre, and a girdle. "They'll make these set-apart holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me in the priest's office." So there's a total of eight garments that are going to be described here in this next section. "They'll take the gold, the blue, the purple, the scarlet, and the fine linen, and make a shoulder cape, an ephod, of gold, of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twisted linen, the work of the skillful workman. It'll have two shoulder pieces joined to the two ends thereof," and that's how it basically will be connected together. Now, it's interesting, this word "two" is going to appear over and over again, and that, I guess, makes a lot of sense, because we are, human beings, you would say, are bilaterally similar. In other words, they're the same on both sides, right and left. One right arm, one left arm, one left nostril, one right nostril, right eye, left eye, so forth. So it makes sense that a lot of these things are going to be done in pairs, and there'll be a certain symmetry. "The skillfully woven band upon it," and that'll be used to gird it on, "that'll be like the work thereof and of the same piece, of gold, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen. Likewise, you'll take two onyx stones and engrave on them the names of the B'nai Yisrael." So six names on one stone, six names on the other stone, according to their birth. So in other words, in birth order. "With the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet," this is how you'll do it, "to engrave the two stones according to the names of the B'nai Yisrael, you shall make them to be enclosed in settings made out of gold. You'll put those two stones upon the shoulder pieces of the ephod," so there'll be a stone on each shoulder, "to be stones of memorial for the B'nai Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before Yahuwah upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And you'll make settings of gold, two chains of pure gold, of plaited thread, you make them, wreathen work, put those wreathen chains on the settings, and then you'll make a breastplate of judgment, the work," and by the way, that word there, judgment, is mishpat in the Hebrew. And we recognize mishpatim, plural, his judgments, so statutes, judgments, commandments. This is the same word. "The work of the skillful workman, like the work of the ephod, you'll make it. Gold, blue, purple, and scarlet, fine twined linen, this is how you make it. Four square it'll be, in other words, it's a square, and doubled. A span will be the length thereof, and a span the breadth thereof. And you'll put in it settings of stones, four rows of stones. And here we're going to see the names of these stones as best as the translators know. And sometimes they might have to take a little bit of liberty because there's at least one or two in the list. We're not sure what they are. But anyway, four rows of stones. First one, a row of carnelian, topaz, and smaragd on the first row. Second row, a carbuncle, sapphire, and an emerald. Third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. Fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They'll be enclosed in gold in their settings. And honestly, I have forgotten which one of those the sages say. We're not really sure if that's the right way to translate it or not. But I guess most of us would be hard-pressed to name some of those stones regardless. The stones then will be according to the names of the B'nai Israel, the children of Israel, the 12 sons, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of the signet, every one according to his name, one for each of the 12 tribes. And you'll make upon the breastplate plated chains of wreathen work, pure gold. Upon the breastplate, two rings of gold. Put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. So we're going to see a lot of twos here over the next few verses. Then put the two wreathen chains of gold on the two rings at the end of the breastplate. The other two ends of the two wreathen chains, you put on two settings. Put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod in the front part. Then make two rings of gold. Put them on the two ends of the breastplate and the edge, which is toward the side of the ephod, to the inside. And you shall make two rings of gold, put them on the two shoulder pieces of the ephod underneath, on the front part, close by the coupling, above the skillfully woven band of the ephod. So all of this basically is to hold this assembly together. They will bind the breastplate by the rings, under the rings of the ephod with a thread of blue, that it may be upon the skillfully woven band of the ephod, that the breastplate is not to be loosened or separated from the ephod, so it stays together. Aaron shall bear the names of the B'nai Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goes into the holy place for a memorial before Yahuwah continually. And you shall put in the breastplate of judgment, of mishpat, these two things. Now, here's an interesting set of words. These turn out to be kind of key. I remember being confused for a long time. The Urim ve-Tumim. And I like to leave that as the way it is in the Hebrew, because honestly, it doesn't make much sense to try to translate them in anyway. But you'll hear this term, Urim ve-Tumim. And essentially, this seems to be some kind of a communications device. We see references to it throughout Scripture, and there's lots of speculation as to how it works. And if you haven't heard it, we may try to go through some of that. But basically, these things, it says, shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goes in before Yahuwah, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the B'nai Israel upon his heart before Yahuwah continually. So it's not going to be described here, and indeed we don't get a lot of detail ever, but we do know that somehow or other for communication, there are speculations that maybe those two stones on the shoulders would light up and that they would cause some the letters that are in the engravings to light up and to spell things out, or maybe the tribes of Israel, the stones would light up. But it does look like something miraculous happened with the Urim Vitumim, and when they were used by the Kohen Gadol to ask questions during the time when they worked, why, again, they were a vital means of getting real solid feedback. It seems pretty clear from Scripture. So the high priest, anyway, the Kohen Gadol, wears this. You will make then the robe of the ephod all out of blue, and it'll have a hole for his head in the midst of it. It shall have a binding of woven work round about the hole, as if it were a hole in a coat of mail, that it be not rent. So remember, a coat of mail would be a chain link, and so there is essentially a binding around this, the hole in the middle, so that it doesn't separate or unweave like you might have with a sweater. Upon the skirts of it, you make pomegranates of blue and purple and of scarlet round about the skirts, and bells of gold between the pomegranates all around. A golden bell and a pomegranate. A golden bell and a pomegranate upon the skirts of the robe all around. And this will be upon Aaron when he ministers. And the sound thereof, so as he walks, it jingles, shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before Yahuwah. And when he comes out, this part is always interesting, so that he die not. So whenever you see the words, so that he die not, you got to figure, this is probably important. Now, there is a little bit of anecdotal things here. The claim was the bells are there so that if the bells quit ringing, and by the way, there are, I wouldn't say records, but certainly there are anecdotal claims about how they used to put a rope around the high priest's ankle so that just in case the bells quit ringing and he did die in there and failed to die not, that they could pull him out. Because you didn't want to go in after him, obviously. But again, a lot of that is just speculation, oral tradition, so forth. But it's interesting, nevertheless, because of the descriptions here. And when you see some of the things that people have done with them, well, if nothing else, it helps you to remember what we're talking about. You shall make a plate of pure gold. So a head plate we're going to talk about here. Pure gold. Engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holy unto Yahuwah. And I like, of course, the Hebrew here. It is kadosh, right? That's the word we render as holy, set apart. Kadosh le Yahuwah. Le yod he vav he. So that's what it says on gold, and this is going to be on his head. You put it on a thread of blue, and this will be up upon the mitre, the headpiece that the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, wears. Upon the forefront of the mitre it is put. And it'll be upon Aaron's forehead, and Aaron shall bear the Torahlessness, the iniquity, committed in the various holy things, the set-apart things, which the B'nai Israel shall hallow, even in all their holy gifts. And it will always be upon his forehead, Kadosh LeYahuwah, so that they might be accepted before Yahuwah. And you shall weave the tunic, or the coat, the outer garment here, and a checker work of fine linen. Make of that a mitre of fine linen, and make a girdle, the work of the weaver, in colors. As for Aaron's sons, you shall make them tunics, and make for them girdles, and head tires, or turbans. You shall make for them for splendor and for beauty. Migba'ah. Splendor and for beauty. And you shall put them upon Aaron, your brother, and upon his sons with him, and anoint them and consecrate them, sanctify them, set them apart, that they may minister to me in the office of Cohen. And you shall make for them linen breeches to cover the flesh of their nakedness. So they wear on the lower part these linen breeches. From the loins to the thighs is where they reach. They will be upon Aaron and his sons when they go into the tent of meeting or when they come near to the altar to minister in a set apart place, that they do not bear iniquity and die. So here it is again, slightly different phraseology, but the implication is clear. This is important. This, it says, shall be a statute forever, and this is hukat olam, again there in the Hebrew, huk, or hukat, the word that has to do with a statute, and olam, forever, or for all time, unto him and unto his seed after him. Chapter 29 says, this is the thing that you'll do to them, to hallow them, to set them apart, to minister unto me in the office of priest, Cohen. Take one young bull, two rams, without blemish. Unleavened bread and cakes of unleavened bread mingled with oil, and a wafer, unleavened bread spread with oil, fine wheaten flour, you'll make them. You'll put one into one basket, or put them both into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. Aaron and his sons you will bring unto the door of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Then you take the garments and put upon Aaron the tunic, the robe of the ephod itself, the breastplate, and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And then set the mitre upon his head, put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then you take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. So Aaron literally is an anointed one. We know the word, that's the word that is used to describe one who is anointed, Mashiach. The high priest is anointed. Then bring his sons, put tunics on them, gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, bind head tires on them. They shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. And you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. Then you bring the bull before the tent of meeting. Aaron and his sons will lay their hands on the head of the bullock. This is a pattern we're going to see consistently. The Kohen and his sons, or the Kohen, whoever's involved, puts his hands on the head of the offering. Then you shall kill the bull before Yahuwah at the door of the tent of meeting. Take the blood of the bull, put it upon the horns of the altar with your finger, and you pour out the remaining blood at the base of the altar. Then you take all the fat that covers the innards, the lobe above the liver, the two kidneys, the fat that's upon them, and make them smoke upon the altar. But the flesh of the bull, its skin, its dung, the offal, in other words, the things that are left over, you burn with fire outside the camp. It is a chatat. So that word there is a sin offering. Take also the ram. Aaron and his sons will lay their hands upon the head of the ram. Then you shall slay the ram. take its blood, dash it round about the altar, and cut that ram into pieces, wash its innards, its legs, put them with its pieces, with its head, and make the whole ram, this time, smoke upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto Yahuwah. So this is an olah, lifted up offering. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. Take the other ram, and Aaron and his son shall lay their hands upon the head of that ram, and you kill this one, take its blood, put it upon. Now this is one of these patterns we're going to see here again as well. Put it on Aaron's right ear. So right ear, tip of the thumb of his right hand, so his thumb on his right hand, and upon the big toe, the great toe of his right foot. Now remember, the Kohanim, the plural, Aaron and his sons, they would do this job barefoot. So, on his big toe. Dash the blood against the altar all around. Then take of the blood that's on the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron and his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. He and his garments shall be hallowed, he and his sons' garments with him. Also, take of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the innards, the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys, the fat that's on them, and the right thigh. This is because this is a ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, one cake of oiled bread, one wafer out of the basket of unleavened bread before Yahuwah. Then put the whole thing upon the hands of Aaron and upon the hands of his sons, and they shall wave them for a wave offering before Yahuwah. You take them from their hands, the things that they've just waved and offered, make them smoke upon the altar of burnt offering for a sweet savor before Yahuwah. This is, in fact, an offering made by fire, le Yahuwah, unto Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Then, take the breast of Aaron's ram of consecration, wave that for a wave offering before Yahuwah. This, it says, shall be your portion. And you shall sanctify or set apart the breast of the wave offering, the thigh of the heave offering, which is waved, which is heaved up, and of the ram of consecration, that which is Aaron's and which is his son's. And this, it says, shall be for Aaron and his sons as a due forever from the B'nai Israel. So this is part of the food that essentially makes up what is theirs. Forever. It is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel of their sacrifices of shalamim, of peace offerings, and their heave offering unto Yahuwah. The holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. So, of course, there's an understanding that these garments were passed down from Kohen Gadol to the next generation, to the next, and the next for literally a very, very long time. 7 days shall the son that is priest in his stead put them on, even he who comes into the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place. So, then you shall take the ram of consecration, seethe its flesh in the set-apart place, or a set-apart place, and Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram, the bread that is in the basket, at the door of the tent of meeting. And they shall eat those things wherewith atonement was made to set them apart, to consecrate them. But a stranger is not to eat of these, because they are, in fact, kadosh, set apart. And if any of the flesh of the consecration or the bread remains till the next morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It's not to be eaten, because it is set apart. And this you shall do unto Aaron and his sons, according, says Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, to all that I've commanded you. 7 days you shall consecrate them. Every day you will offer that bowl of the sin offering beside the other offerings of atonement, and you'll do the purification upon the altar when you make atonement for it, to anoint it, to sanctify it. 7 days you make this atonement for the altar, and set it apart, sanctify it. Thus shall the altar be kadosh. Literally, the word kadosh here appears twice, right? Kadosh, kedoshim. It's the same reference we see in places like the Holy of Holy, most holy. So that is a kind of a Hebrew understanding. A lot of times you'll see a word like that doubled. So kadesh, kodeshim. Kadesh is the singular form, kodeshim the plural. So that's why it's rendered as Holy of Holies, but most holy is another way that it gets rendered in English too. Now, this is what you shall offer upon the altar. 2 lambs of the first year, so 2 young lambs, day by day continually. 1 lamb in the morning, 1 at dusk. So the morning lamb and the evening lamb. And with 1 lamb a tenth part of an ephah of fine flour, mingled with a quarter, a fourth part of a hin of beaten oil, and a fourth part of a hin of wine for a drink offering. Other lamb, you offer at dusk, and you do there too according to the meal offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof. So in other words, the same process, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto Yahuwah. Now this is the key part. It says, this shall be a continual burnt offering, an olah, right? It's lifted up. The smoke lifts it up throughout your generations. Throughout your generations, at the door of the tent of meeting before Yahuwah, where I will meet with you to speak unto you. And I will meet with the B'nai Israel, and the tent, the Ohel, the Mishkan, shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify this tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron and his sons also will I sanctify to minister to me right in the office of Cohen. And I will dwell among the B'nai Israel, and I will be their Elohim. And you shall know, they shall know, Ki Ani Yahuwah Elohechem. I am Yod-Heh Vav-Heh their El. That brought them, pause a second here. How many times have we heard this? It's almost like he really, really intends for us to remember this, right? You shall know, Ki Ani Yahuwah Elohechem, that I am who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. Ani Yahuwah Elohechem. He says it twice in the same verse. And finally, chapter 30, and here are the last few verses in this week's Parsha. Then you shall make an altar to burn incense upon. Out of acacia wood will you make it. It's a cubit in length and a cubit in breadth. So it's one cubit square, this altar. Four square it shall be. Two cubits is the height, so it's actually pretty high. It's 3 feet above the ground. And the horns thereof will be of a single piece with it. One piece, literally that word there is echad, with it. And you shall overlay it with pure gold on the top, the sides round about, the horns thereof, make unto it a crown of gold around about. So there's a crown of gold on top that goes around it. Two golden rings will you make for it under the crown thereof, on the two ribs. On the two sides you make them. And these will be for staves that will be used to bear it, to carry it. And you shall make the staves of acacia wood, overlay them with gold. We've seen this pattern. Then you shall put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the ark cover that's over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn incense on it, the incense of sweet spices every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he will burn this incense. And when Aaron lights the lamps at dusk, he shall burn it, a perpetual incense before Yahuwah. Here it is again, throughout your generations. You are not to offer any strange incense thereon, nor any burnt offering, nor any meal offering. Don't pour a drink on it either. So this is an altar that has that singular purpose. Aaron shall make atonement upon the horns of it once in the year. With the blood of the sin offering of atonement, once in a year shall he make atonement for you and for it throughout your generations. And here's the final verse in the Parsha. It is most holy. Kadesh Kodeshim Le Yahuwah unto Yod-Heh Vav-Heh.